Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're ushering in a new theme this month, bodybuilders. Renee will be expounding on it throughout the month. It's good to have Pastor Dave back in the house after a time away and a sabbatical. And from what I understand, he is elected not to preach for a season at least. And I think there's some wisdom in that because I do believe Renee is laying a foundation for the new season that we're entering into. And she may be doing a little more preaching than she's used to and stretching her preaching muscles. And she's going to be a bodybuilder. And it'll be good. Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning at verse 19, I want to read through these few verses, and then I just want to go back and take them kind of verse by verse or thought by thought. I think there's some good stuff in here. The reality is that we need to posture ourselves as bodybuilders, both to be built up by the body and to build up the body. You have to be willing to give out, and you need to be willing to take in. And both are very important, and it is a part of bodybuilding. Verse 19, chapter 10 of Hebrews. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Verse 19 starts out with, therefore, because the writer of Hebrews has been establishing the fact that we are under a new covenant. And I want to encourage us this morning we do not lose sight that we are under a new covenant. And it's not like the old covenant. And there is a name that is above every other name that we can bring into play in every situation in our life and every situation in our church and every situation in our city and every situation in our nation. And it is a name that is above every other name on the earth, above the earth, and below the earth. And that is the name of Jesus. And he is the usher. He ushers in a new covenant. I appreciated what Renee said roughly, probably a year ago, I don't know, but she said, God does not invite us into a battle, he invites us into a victory. And we need to recognize that in this day, we are living from victory. It does not matter what is going on in the various aspects of our life. We are living from victory. And we have God on our side. I appreciated what Renee said last week, or maybe the week before, that God has a plan. And he's working his plan. And the secret for you and I is to get on board with his plan, even if it means letting go of our plan. I've had a little experience with letting go of the plan that I had or thought I had. And many of you have too. And the key to letting go of one plan is not to be planless. The key to letting go of one plan is to, as quick as you possibly can, grab another plan. But the plan that I recommend that we all grab is the plan of God. He is up to something very significant, and he knows what he's doing. And it will all take place under the name of, and under the authority of, and under the anointing of Jesus Christ. Last week, Renee said she's launching us into a new preaching series of love, truth, and power. And this month, we're really focusing on love, even in talking of body life and of body building, and we'll see it as we get into our text. It's about love. It's about both receiving love, stirring up love, and giving out love. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And this is a day when we need to be a new covenant people. See, in the old covenant, the people of God needed prophets. Last time Alan Ross was here, we had a Q&A on a Saturday, and I do not want us to miss what he said. And I've said it for years, so therefore I know he must have been right. He said there are two voices prophetically that are much more important, or two sources much more important than the voice of the prophets. One is Scripture. The other is what you're hearing God say. And there is a danger in this day, because there is a sense where there are Old Testament prophets, or prophets prophesying in an Old Testament model instead of this new covenant model that we're reading about here, where I can boldly enter into the presence of God for myself, and I can hear what the Lord is saying to me. There's a real danger in following prophetic voices that demand that you do what they're doing. Be careful. Can I just say this? You know I'm going to. Probably the most dangerous people to have pastoring people are prophets. And if you've ever been under the past, and I mean a true prophet, don't follow the voice of someone who isn't lining up with what you're hearing the Father say. If there are things that you hear that run contrary to what's going on in your spirit, be watchful. And be careful. There are Old Testament prophets and there are New Testament prophets. All the Old Testament prophets should be dead by now. I'm just saying. Because there was ushered in fact, the writer of Hebrews in another place says, the glory of the Old Covenant is now passing away, that the glory of the New Covenant can come forth. That was written thousands of years ago. And under the new covenant, the prophet to the nations is the church. Ellen has also taught that. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't prophetic voices who speak into things. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it does mean that you and I must always follow both the word of the Lord written and the word of the Lord spoken to us personally. That is the most significant voice. In the Old Testament, where prophets were wrong, they just got stoned to death. In the New Testament, when prophets are wrong, they should, number one, own up that they were wrong. But number two, we recognize that it is not perfect. Paul says in Corinthians, we prophesy in part, we see in part. And we need to understand that. Never put an overemphasis on the prophetic words, especially, listen to me now, especially when things aren't coming to pass. Be wise and recognize that we are a people who ourselves, because see, we are high priests, we are priests ourselves. We can go into the holiest of holies. And we are prophets ourselves. Both Paul as a spokesman for the new covenant and Moses as a spokesman for the old covenant. Oh, I would that all of God's people would prophesy. Pursue love, Paul writes. And he said, and then seek that you might prophesy. What's he saying? That the word of the Lord might be in your mouth, that you might be hearing what God is saying and speaking it. Amen. The reason that it's really good to follow God's plan is because of verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We heard it prophetically this morning. God is a promise keeper. He keeps his promises. And just because it doesn't look like he's keeping his promises does not mean he's not. And we need to know that. And so often we feel like we put God in a box and say, okay, you must do this, this, and this if you're going to keep your promise. And he just kicks a hole in our box because he does things the way that he wants to. But make no mistake about it, he is a promise keeper. And the only way that we must understand this, and this should help us, the only way that God can be a promise keeper is if he's sovereign. It's not possible unless he's sovereign. Even I as a human, as a father, I made promises to my children. I made promises to my son John that at age 12 he could have a 22, and I couldn't wait to give it to him. In fact, I gave it to him a couple months early, because I just couldn't wait any longer. But even as a human and as a limited father, I kept the promise. How much more God, and he has the ability. He is sovereign. And the only thing that messes with the sovereignty of God is the sovereignty of man. But he has the ability to adjust and to move and work when the sovereignty of man is exercised. God has got a plan, and I believe his plan is to make the name of Jesus great again in America. And I would encourage you to get behind that plan. The name of Jesus, that name that is above every other name, carries tremendous authority. And it is the source of the love. It is the source of the truth, and it is the source of the power that we're going to be discovering over these next few months. God's kingdom is unique. Darren. And it's Amanda, right?
Andrea,
thank you. And forgive me for, I should know. If I was prophetic, I wouldn't know, right? I had a vision as we were worshiping. I had a vision of the two of you, and it was kind of cool. I had a vision of the two of you like coming out of a cocoon, and you were a butterfly. And the two of you were the most unique butterfly I had ever seen. And can I just say this? You did not have matching wings. Darren, you were one wing on the one side, and can I just say you were way different than the other wing? You other couples, careful. But there's a uniqueness and a beauty in who you are as the two of you, and I don't even know, I haven't had the privilege or opportunity to talk to you guys for a while, but I want you to know that God is up to something of some significance, and it's, I don't know how to say it other than it's like you're coming out into some awesome new things, and it's like a butterfly in many ways flying as a couple. I know you've only been married a relatively short time. You have the ability to fly in awesome ways. So I encourage you, Darren, to let your wing flutter. Andrea, good. And I encourage you to let your wing flutter and to recognize that the uniqueness of the two of you, which you are way different from each other. Yes. But isn't that amazing what God can do? And you're going to fly together in some awesome ways. And there's a freshness and a newness in it all. And I can't wait to see it unfold. Fly, fly, fly. Good. Prophetic should be confirmation. Just, in fact, it was what I was just preaching. The prophetic should always confirm, not establish something you didn't already know. Although there are times when it does, so that's probably not a fair statement either. He who promised is faithful, and he has the ability to keep his promises, and even when the sovereignty of God is called into question by the sovereignty of man, the sovereignty of God wins out every time. It might change, it might shift the plan, it might. We see it with the children of Israel over and over again. And if you think you are different, if we think we are different than the children of Israel, I think not. But the only difference is we have a new covenant and we have a new leader. And he has an authority that is above every other name and every other authority. And as we step into his plan, and if, by the way, you have to alter your plan, even though you were on his plan, but now his plan has shifted, we need to shift with it. Because he is doing some awesome things. I believe we're living in a day when a lie is going to be confronted by truth. I believe we're living in a day when hatred is going to be confronted by love. Renee preached it last week. I believe we're living in a time when darkness is going to be confronted by light. And we need to understand that. And you never, listen to me, you never, never overcome darkness with darkness. Never. We have a motto as a nation, in God we trust. And this is a time more than any other time, whether doesn't matter whether it's about what's going on with COVID or politics or finance, you know, financial picture in our nation. Doesn't matter. Whatever the situation, in God we trust. And our confidence, he is our confidence. And here's the deal. He is our only confidence. Amen. He's not an option, one of the options. He's the only option. And as the name of Jesus becomes great again in America, we're in for a ride. And we get to be a part of it because we're his kids and because he has purposed that you and I would flow with him. I want to speak to those of you who are parents and those of you who have kids, whether you're watching online or you're here in the room. I want you to recognize that this is a day more than any other day when you need to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and you need to take special effort to educate your kids. Now, I'm not saying you have to homeschool. My kids went to public school, but they were homeschooled. Amen. And you can send your kids wherever you feel is proper for reading, writing, and arithmetic, but homeschool them in the things of God. Homeschool them in spiritual truth. Homeschool them in cultural skills. Homeschool them. Because the reality is we are living, last time I had opportunity to preach, we talked about we're living in a perverse and crooked generation. And we kind of unraveled that whole thing. But we're living in a time when your children's identity is being challenged. We're living in a time when our children's biological identity is being challenged. We're living in a time when our children's sexual identity is being challenged by the culture we live in. We're living in a time when the moral identity of your child is being challenged. We're living in a time when the spiritual identity of your child is being challenged. And we as parents and as grandparents need to be about the business of educating our kids and making sure that they are able and aware of who they are and where their identity comes from. It's important. It's always been important, but I want to suggest it's particularly important in light of the things that we see going on and coming about in the culture in which we live. What's this got to do with bodybuilding? It's got everything to do with bodybuilding. Build up your children. Make sure that they're built up. Make sure that they're strong on the inside. Make sure that they have an identity. Make sure that they have values. Make sure that they know who they are and help them to discover what they believe. And I know that's not easy. I know, especially as they get a certain age, and I suspect the age is probably younger than it used to be, that they begin to think for themselves and begin to, but recognize the influence that we as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, and even as the body to other kids. I thank God for the Sunday school pastors that we have in this body. I thank God for the youth pastors that we have in this body, both of whom are in Florida at this time. And we had privilege to spend some time with both of them there. But they're tremendous in the gift that God has given them to impart to your children. Recognize that the responsibility we have. I want to encourage you adults to take an interest in the teenagers that you interact with in this body. Just show an interest in them. Encourage them. Sometimes I think we don't realize how important our voice is in the lives of those around us. Especially those who are younger. And if you're here today and you feel like, well, they just won't listen to you, so what? I want to suggest they do. And I want to suggest they hear. And I want to suggest that the truths that you have to drop into them in the most unreligious ways is our seeds. And it's the incorruptible seed. And it will bring about fruit. Verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I want you to know that that word stir up is a very, it isn't a nice little friendly stir up. It is to incite. It is to push or encourage very strongly. We'll see the term used. It's often used in the same way. Exhort. It is an exhortation, and we are required in our body building to build one another up. I want to encourage you to see yourself as a bodybuilder. And to be a bodybuilder, you need to posture yourself to build up others, but you also have to posture yourself to be built up by others. Do you allow others to build you up? Do you allow others access to you to encourage you, to strengthen you, to speak into your life? Do you have those who hold you accountable? And when I say accountable, I don't mean to chew you out when you do wrong. No, that's not accountability. No, accountability is to be reminded of who you are and to call you to live up to the standard of who you are, even as Henry said, to remind you of the spiritual inheritance that you have. We need to do that with one another. One of the first things we did when we got back from Florida last spring is join a connect group. Why? Because we want to be connected and we want to be built up. We want to be stirred up and we want to stir up others. We stir one another toward love and good works. We can have a tendency to have a legalistic view that it's not about good works, but ultimately it is. Not that good works earn us favor with God. No, just the opposite. It's because I have favor with God, I can go about the business of doing good works. Jesus said, Renee talked about it, can't remember whether last week or the week before, because we listened to one message right after the other, kind of. But Renee talked about letting our light shine. Last time I preached, I talked about letting our light shine. We are shining lights in a crooked and perverse generation. What does it look like to let your light shine? Well, when Jesus said it, he said, you are the light of work, the light of the world. And he goes on and he says, when people see your good works, they will glorify your Father. Part of letting our light shine is simply our good works. Just how we treat people, how we serve people, how we bless people. Recognize that's part of being a bodybuilder, whether you're building it in the house of God or outside the house of God. Whether the people you're building up are part of the body now or they're on their way to becoming part of the body because of your influence in their life. Let's read verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to address those who are not here this morning that are watching online or will watch this later. I realize that some are taking precautions to keep a distance for the purpose of COVID, and I want to say we honor that, and we see the importance of that. Part of what I said earlier about hearing from God for yourself is so important. And so we recognize, but I do want to encourage you then to recognize the power of connecting with the body via, obviously, online like this, but also by phone, by opening up your home. I believe that one of the greatest expressions of the coming move of God is going to take place in homes, in small groups. I really do, and I say that with all sincerity. I believe that, and one reason for that is going to be because what God is going to do will be so massive and so widespread. And it isn't about a church. It's about the body of Christ. It's about a bridal revival that we've been talking about. It is the bride of Jesus Christ taking her place alongside Jesus Christ himself, and they going about the earth, releasing the life of God in powerful ways, releasing the truth of God in powerful ways, releasing the power of God and the truth and the love of God in powerful ways. I believe the next revivalist is you.
Come on.
I do. I sincerely do. Yeah. And we pray almost every day that we can be a part of it. And we are to some degree, but we want to see it even more. Because God wants to move, but he wants to move through his body. That's why it's important to become a bodybuilder and to get some meat on your bones. And so if you're not able to join an assembly because of your concerns and because of health concerns, because of concerns with those loved ones in your household, just recognize that you still have the ability to both be built up by the body and to build up the body. You can do it by phone. You can do it by joining a small group. You can do it by having someone that you know is safe to have into your home because of health reasons, and just have them into your home. Use your home. You know, one of the most significant weapons that you and I have is our homes. I pushed my mute button. Whoa. One of the most significant weapons you have is to open up your home, because when you invite people into that sphere, they're in a sphere where you carry authority, spiritual authority. and the ability to release and to impart some things. In prayer this morning, Pastor Dave mentioned first love. How many of you remember? When he said it, I saw it in a new light. I saw it in the context of our message this morning. And I remembered my first love. And it wasn't just my love for Jesus. It was my love for the bride. It was my love to be in an assembly of people. I remember when I first got saved, I drove miles to be in a church service, or I drove miles to be in a conference. And because part of the first love package was a love to be in the house of God. We talked about it this morning, driving in, that scripture that says, I was glad when they said, let us come into the house of the Lord. There's something about body life that is so precious. And allow that first love to arise in you. But recognize it's not just on Sunday morning. It can be in the sphere of your neighborhood or your home. I believe one of the things that Pastor Dave is going to be giving himself to is to help reestablish and encourage the formation of connect groups. If you're interested in that, talk to Pastor Dave. There's an ability that we have to be a bodybuilder in our homes to encourage and strengthen one another. Jesus said this. He sent them out. By the way, when he sent them out, he sent them out two by two. Who has he sent you with? I think that's a very significant thing. He sent them out two by two. Who are you in partnership with in the work of the ministry? And that, I'm not talking about just marriage. That can be a part of it, but it doesn't have to be. But he said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. We need to recognize that in this day, and that's why we need the body. We need to be built up. Why? Because we're as sheep among wolves. And the exhortation is to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And our time is up. I'd close by encouraging you to recognize the power you have and the exhortation you have from Scripture to stir yourself up, to build yourself up. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to us. We thank you for the privilege of being part of a body, whether online or in person here this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of the larger body of Christ. We thank you for the opportunity we have to bring the body together at the invitation into our home. And we thank you, Father, for the grace that you give us to build one another up. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.